And welcome to the Celeste Stein Show. I'm your host, Dr. Celeste Stein, and I thank you so much for taking your time to join us today. As you come on in here to visit with us, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to my YouTube, LinkedIn, and bbsradio.com channels found under the name The Celeste Stein Show, of course. From the bottom of my heart, I certainly appreciate your support. Now, on today's show, I'm sure if you are a busy tax, busy business owner like myself, it's no doubt that you know that this is a tax season. We are in it and it is upon us. Today's guest is here to answer some of our most pressing issues on the tax laws, deductions you can take, and how you can certainly find ways to legally reduce your tax liabilities and keep more money in your pocket. If you have any questions for our guest during the show, please don't forget to call in toll free to 1-888-627-6008. That number again is 888-627-6008. Now, Ashley Brooks is the owner of the Nashville-based Brooks and Associates Tax Consulting Services. She's had a career in finance, overseeing various government contract budgets and cost reporting prior to stepping out on her own to help individuals and business owners. She can assist with personal and business returns, bookkeeping, and small business formation. Ashley, it is certainly a pleasure to have you here on the show today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about this topic.
Yes. And I'm really excited to talk to you because I'm not gonna lie. This is my worst time of the year. I hate this time of year because, for me, I end up having to do so much prep as a small business owner. It's just every year it just seems to be changes in the tax laws and more that you have to do to prepare. So I'm delighted to kind of talk through some things on the individual side and the business side and see if we can provide some information to people on ways they can improve this process because
Yes.
it comes every year. So how can
Yes.
we best be prepared for it. So I want to begin by asking you what types of information should be, in people's head as far as what is it that they should be gathering together this time of year for their personal returns if they have not filed yet?
Yeah, so that's honestly a great question. And I love that you're honest in saying that you don't enjoy this time of year. And it is very stressful trying to gather this information. I'm big on keeping things simple because I know tax law is overwhelming. Gathering all of these documents that you're getting in the mail, you're getting emails on is very, it creates anxiety also. So when I talk with clients, I tell them to keep it very simple. You always want to first identify what are your sources of income. Right. So you have business owners. And so that one is pretty straightforward. A lot of clients that I speak with, they deal with various point of sale systems. The biggest part about that is as long as those funds are being deposited into your bank account, that's going to be your easiest way to track all of your information. So having a profit and loss statement for business owners is going to be super, super key. But I deal with a lot of people that don't do bookkeeping, right? So if they're not doing bookkeeping, then gathering those bank statements where you're having the funds deposited and then you're paying for those business expenses out of the bank account, as long as you have the information, that's going to be your best friend. Then I have some individuals that's hybrid and they're working a job, even if they're working a business for themselves. In situations like that, W-2s, 1099s, those are going to be additional documents that they want to gather. And one thing that I find that a lot of clients forget if they have children, they forget their childcare statement. That's one
Oh,
that a
yeah.
lot of businesses don't provide anymore. And I tell clients too, as long as you yourself have good documentation and you show what you're paying for, whether it's childcare, business expenses, I have clients that have home office for their business. As long as you're paying for those items, pulling from your bank statement is going to always be the goal that you want to go toward, even if some of these institutions aren't providing those tax documents.
Yeah, one thing I would add to that, just from my own personal experience, is I found that initially I maybe had several different accounts for the business, and it's really better to consolidate and just kind of from a tracking purpose, because each one of those you have to reconcile.
Yeah.
So the
Yeah.
less you have to do at tax time,
The better. Well,
the
what and one thing I tell clients, and this, and again, I like to keep things as simplistic as possible. So
Yeah.
even if clients have multiple accounts, if you're doing bookkeeping, which is the route you want to go as you grow your business, that's putting all of your accounts together to be able to reconcile them. But the average person is not doing bookkeeping. So if they're not, and I call it the quick and dirty version, as long as you can download all of your bank transactions for the year from each account, you
Right.
consolidate that in the spreadsheet, it makes your process so much simpler. So that's one that I find that I go to more for a lot of business owners than
Yeah.
them, possibly missing those business deductions.
Yeah, I know I'm kind of old school. I've been, reconciling with QuickBooks for about 20 years. And so that whole thing, I mean, is quite the process, especially like I come from, when it used to be all manual and you couldn't download the bank statements. You had to input each and every single expense and
Transaction.
all that and classify everything. So at least I know how to do that, because some people don't
They
even get
don't. They
the people.
don't.
They
And
don't
that's
know
when
what I'm talking
I
about.
would honestly recommend to, because I mean, that's the key of what we're saying, right? Tax season is super, super stressful. So I always advise people, if your situation is complex, hire a professional in something as simple as the bookkeeping piece. Because a lot of
Yeah.
people don't. I'm glad that you understand how intense bookkeeping can be. A lot of
Yeah.
people are like, oh, it's just data entry, and it's not. But getting that professional, that's ensuring that your taxes are done, but they're compliant also.
Right. Because it's even little things. Like I've had different tax people over that long a period of time. And so sometimes people, if I had a new person, they might not have been able to find a particular account. So they may go in and change it to a different category that I already have. So I may have two or three of the same thing. And so then somebody has to come in at the end and kind of put all that together and recognize. And I mean, I have to kind of look at it and say, wait a minute, that's contributions, not this over here.
Not
Don't.
income, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, exactly. So, and because if you don't do that right, what, you can't deduct it. So
Nope. Or you
yeah.
can overstate or understate. So it's, I mean,
Right.
what you're saying is spot on, and that's the key, I would say too. Even if you are having a professional, you as the taxpayer still have to understand what's being reported.
Absolutely. I can't stress that enough. That is so true. At the end of the day, it's going to be on you. It's going to be
It's on
your
you.
responsibility. So it would behoove you to take some responsibility on the front end and learn a little bit about it. It's not necessarily easy,
No.
but you do have to take that time and ask questions and try to understand certainly as much as you can. Now, I know we
Right.
have some deadlines coming up, the usual April 15th for the individuals, but what about businesses? There are a number of things, from your
Yeah.
W-2s to your 1099s to the year-end sales and use tax, all of
Yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
So talk about those deadlines, because I think a lot
Yeah.
of people are like, oh my God, it's
Yeah.
so many,
Yeah, it is
so
a lot. And what I tell people, because again, I'm very hard on keeping things as simple as possible. So April 15th, I tell people, look at that like it's your second birthday. Most of the tax deadlines, thank
that's good.
God, are due around April 15th, right? So how I simplify it, if you have a corporation or you have a let's see, corporation and individual returns, they're due April 15th. So that's coming up in about a week or so. Everything else is due prior to then, which makes it really, really hard for individuals when we get into the new year to try to meet all these deadlines. So you mentioned W-2s and 1099s. So for individuals that are having to process those, or even if you're waiting on those documents from your employer or from businesses that you've worked with, January 31st is the date for that. So it comes up very
Right.
quickly, right?
Very fast.
I
Yeah.
have a calendar that I've just over the years learned to start giving to my clients because they're just like, every time I turn around, it's a different date. So January 31st is the first one. Then you have March 15th that comes up. This is more so for businesses, partnerships, and S corporations. So there aren't as many of those as there are individuals that have to file by April 15th. But that March 15th is important because if you have an S corp or a partnership and you don't meet that deadline, now you could potentially run into missing the April 15th deadline, right?
Right.
Annual report is another one. And this again is for those business owners. You got to get your annual report by April 15th, and there are fees associated with that. So April is the month that you don't want to miss, right? You may miss
Right.
some of the January, the March, but April, look at that as your second birthday month and say, okay, Ashley said April 15th should be my second birthday. And just make note of all the things, because if you miss that April 15th deadline, now you're going to be hit with so many penalties and interest. And
Right.
those are hard to waive, very
Right.
hard to waive.
Right. Not impossible,
Not
but more
impossible, but it's
difficult.
the.
Yeah. And then I think if you talk about even prepping with getting, let's say you're looking for a new accountant, somebody
Yes.
that does what you do, or bookkeeper, or what have you, now is not the time, right? How far in advance should people be coming to you and kind of saying, hey, I'm
Yes.
looking hiring somebody new, because I know you're slammed right now,
I'm slammed right now, and I laugh because literally new clients are reaching out like as we speak to this
Right.
morning and yesterday. And I'm like, hey, we're less than 2 weeks away from the April 15th deadline. So typically,
Yikes.
what I tell clients, right, when you're looking to source a new accounting professional, start in the summertime, right? That's the best time because we're through the peak season of that first tax deadline. We're not yet ramping up for the second deadline, which is September through October. And after October, everybody, not just accountants, we're all getting ready for the holidays, year end, and things like that. Summertime is going to be the best time because that way you can ask questions with accountants, you can understand their experience level, the type of returns that they're working with. But now you can tell them your situation for the current year. So that way, when it's time to file for the upcoming year, they already know these are the things that you had going on. Some people get married, they have kids, they get divorced, they relocate. They forget about these things affect your taxes. So if you're meeting with an accountant in the summertime, you're not in this rush of trying to gather all of these documents. You're able
Right.
to have a very great conversation, and now you can make a decision on what professional you want to work with. And now they can kind of give you that checklist because they understand your situation.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't want to add stress upon stress. It's
No.
stressful anyway. And so it's a very important decision, trying to find that person that's, really a good fit with you,
Yeah.
that understands, your business somewhat and how you work and so forth. I know, it's something that I think, you really want to take the time to make a careful selection, because obviously if not done right, again, that you're going to be the one that
Yeah.
is faced with having to deal with whatever comes. So
Yeah. And
I think that's really
honestly,
important.
I would say I know a lot of people don't really take that serious in what you're saying, looking for a new professional, but I would equate it to looking for a doctor, right? When you find a doctor, you want a doctor that understands your needs, they understand what's going on with you. You want someone who's going to ask questions. And I'm putting emphasis on that part because a lot of the clients that I've gotten over the last 2 years, they have expressed to me that I'm providing services that they weren't getting before. It's been very transactional, or they haven't dug to ask those questions. And some of the things that you're saying, they're not trying to understand the client's situation. And most clients don't understand what the information that they're supposed to provide, right? You have some accountants that would just take what you give them and they're going to prepare the return based on that. So I think you want to kind of source the accountant to make sure that they're asking the questions that you're looking for them to ask and answer, but also making sure it's a good fit for you. And you want somebody that you can potentially work with long term. You're not going to go to a different doctor every year. You shouldn't do it with an accountant either.
Yeah, and even, in closing out your books from the previous year, you want that person who's really looking at ways they can even maybe save you the next time, even if you didn't catch it this time, but where you're talking all that through and really taking a look at it, because, if they don't, a lot of things can be missed. And so sometimes I know many people just hand over that P&L and the balance sheet, and they may
That's
be
it.
doing their own,
This
taxes.
service, yeah.
miss all kinds of things. And so that's why you have a professional who can help you with that, you know? So it's no secret that some people pay very little in taxes. Why? Because they have really good tax professionals that are catching everything and catching all those deductions. So let's say, Ashley, somebody, they missed the deadline, one of these deadlines. It's going to cost them, yeah, in penalties and interest. But if you know it's coming, you say you have a lot of people are calling you right now. Well, what should they do if they know you and you know, you, hey, there is no way by April 15th I can handle all this. So, what do you recommend that they do?
File an extension. You got to get an extension filed. And again, I'm big on the tax education piece. So I do explain to clients, if you know that you're going to get a refund, don't stress about anything. You don't get penalized when you're supposed to be getting money. You get penalized when you owe the IRS money, right? So if you know that you're going to owe, or you're like, hey, I have a business, I'm not really sure, look at your prior year. Pretty much history is a pattern. So if you've owed in prior years, more than likely you're going to owe in the current year. At least get an extension filed. We recommend that you make a payment with that extension. But again, the average client does not, the average person does not. But if you can't make a payment, no harm, no foul. Yes, you will be penalized for that. But it's a larger penalty if you do not file an extension at all. And that's one penalty they're very unlikely to waive. So you want to make sure that you get the extension filed. And I actually had a potential client yesterday. They reached out and said, hey, I need to file an extension. And they're not a client. I was able to send them a link to a free website to say, hey, I'm in a crunch right now, but here's a link so you can at least file the extension yourself. But again, the plus about having the professional is a lot of the clients, whether they're new or old, they're sending an email just saying, hey, file an extension for me and we're taking care of it, right? And so that way, that's one less thing that they have to worry about. And now they have 6 months, which is October 15th, to gather whatever information they need to go ahead and get their return file accurately and meet in the deadline.
Well, I know some people, maybe panic because they miss filing their return altogether. And then one thing snowballs into another. The next, I mean, years start running together. And then, what happens to those people who say haven't filed for 2 or 3 years? I mean, that whole thought just terrifies me, like to even think, because I can't remember 1 year to the next to not to have to think about, going back 2 or 3 years. But if they have done that, what type of help is available for those people that have fallen behind like that? Or does the IRS offer any assistance or what have you to help you catch up and, get back on track?
Yeah, so the IRS isn't helping to do anything. They're waiting on you to file. They're waiting on you to file so they can penalize you for not filing. This is why I put emphasis on even if you think you're not going to file the return on time, and things happen, life happens. I understand that wholeheartedly. Just at least get your extension filed, and you will be surprised. I can tell when I talk to people, compliant clients versus clients who are not. And when you speak, I know that you're very organized. I know that you are a timely filer, right? But when I speak to certain people, the average person is not filing their return every year. And when I say that out loud to people, they're shocked. They're like, how are they not filing? Life happens. It just does. And I think the longest I've heard somebody not file is 10 years. 10 years. And the thing is, we have millions of people in the US, right? So the IRS isn't catching every single person that's not filing. But what the IRS will do is every year they kind of go through their system to see who hasn't filed and they're looking at who may potentially owe. And that's when those letters are going to start going out. So one of two things happens that make people catch up. They either going to get a letter from the IRS saying, hey, we see you haven't filed in these years. And that's going to prompt the client to say, hey, I need to get caught up because I'm getting the letters from the IRS and my penalties and interest are accruing every single month. That's the first. So they're being forced to file. On the flip side, you'll have a client, and this honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think COVID really kind of put a lot of people in the bind. But I had a lot of clients last year coming saying, hey, I haven't filed since 2019, 2020, 2021. I need to get caught up, right? So they're needing to do it for jobs. They're needing to do it because they're look, and this is the number one reason. If you're doing it yourself, you're looking to purchase a home. You're looking to purchase a home. They want to see the last 2 years of your return. And when I get clients, they're like, hey, I need to file for 21 and 22. We can hold off on 23. And I'm like, no, let's just get everything caught up. So the way that it works is as long gather your documents. If it's been a couple of years and you're like, I've moved, I don't have all of those documents, no worries. You can go to the IRS website. As you get copies of your W-2s and 1099s, those copies have to be submitted to the IRS, right? I tell everybody, create an account on the IRS website. Once you do that, anytime you need to pull your tax balance, your tax history, get copies of your transcript, you want copies of those W-2s and 1099s. That's where I always direct clients to go to retrieve that information. Once you've gathered that information, now you can prepare the returns and now you can get caught up. I tell clients again, things happen. So it may be a couple of years that you haven't filed, but once you get back on track, stay on track because the thing is, the IRS, they may waive penalties and interest if you've been behind 1 year. If they see that you have habitually been behind, they're not going to waive those penalties and interest. And those things can accrue to be thousands of dollars. You don't want to pay more to the IRS than you need to.
What about I know they're supposed to be, if you've been through some type of tragic event, a hurricane, a tornado, those type of things. Like I know Nashville had the tornadoes.
Yes.
Are there special provisions that might be available to waive penalties and or interest?
Yeah. So for those, the IRS is aware of the locations that are hit by natural disasters. And so in those situations, and you will see it come across the news, they'll say, hey, they did it last year. For Tennessee, for sure. And they only do it for the areas affected. So it won't be the whole state. It'll be those specific areas. Because a lot of people will say, oh, tornado happened in Nashville. Well, I'm in Memphis, so I'm included in this. That's not the case, right? California, right?
I
They always have wildfires and earthquakes and things like that. So the IRS is aware and they'll send out a notification to say, hey, we're going to extend this filing for you.
don't
So if you happen to miss that filing and you fall up under that natural disaster type of thing, or like you said, it's a catastrophic event, whether it's medical or something, you can submit a letter to the IRS to say, hey, this was the circumstance at the time. The thing is, that works for you in that particular year. But again, if you are a habitual late filer and you haven't filed for years on end, the likelihood of them waiving those penalties and interest is going to be very low because they do go back and look at the history of filing and they, what's the word that I want to use? They're willing to work with you when you have a good filing history and you've paid your taxes on time. They're more likely to waive those penalties and interest versus someone that just has a bad history of filing and being late on taxes. So it's kind of like the creditors. They want you to pay money and they're not going to be willing to negotiate with you, but if they see that you are willing to make some type of payment, they'll be willing to work with you.
Even if you are going to file late, Ashley, would you recommend, if you think you're going to owe, would you recommend going ahead and making a payment?
Yeah, you should definitely make a payment with the IRS. So that's what I was kind of sharing before. If you know that you're going to owe, you want to pay at least 90% of what you think you're going to owe, or just pay 100% of what you owed in the prior year, which can be a lot of money for a lot of people. So the more you pay, the better. That's what I always tell clients. Even if you don't have the 100% of the prior year, paying something is worth better than not paying at all when it comes to the IRS. But more so than anything, if you're like, I don't have the funds to make a payment, at least get the extension filed. Because a lot of people, they'll say, well, I don't have the money to pay. I'm not going to file an extension because I don't want to be on their radar. You're doing yourself a disservice because, again, that failure to file the extension is it can be $1,000 or more.
And that interest, people have to
It
realize
accrues.
that interest is accruing on there, and it can be as much as the tax. I mean, it's crazy,
Yeah.
how all that works. So it's
Yeah.
really, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure in that case. So
Yeah.
you want to go ahead. I think that's great advice to recommend that people go
Yeah.
ahead and at
And to
least
bring
try
that,
to do something.
To bring that home, I had a client, similar situation. And it's funny you mentioned that she had a natural disaster situation happen and hadn't filed in a couple of years. We filed her return, got her caught up in the current year. She paid the taxes that she owed. She got a letter saying that she owed $4,000. And she's just like, what is this? I paid, what you recommended that I pay. When I looked at the notice, that $4,000 was interest and penalties from not filing the
All
last 2
interest and
years.
penalties. Wow.
And so, and guess what? You still have to pay it first before you even request the penalty abatement.
Yeah. And good luck getting that back, right? But anyway,
It's a
I
process.
laugh. We digress. But anyway, so I also wanted to ask, in terms of deductions that people can take, I know a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3, maybe more, I've lost track of time with COVID, but the filing of the itemized return, you know how you can get the 12,000 or 24,000 in filing joint. Who should itemize? And I mean, is it a good idea to even do that anymore if you can just take the 24,000 if you're married or 12,000 if you're single?
So again, I like to keep things simple. When it comes to tax, it's not a 1 + 1 = 2, unfortunately. And hence the reason why there are professionals that handle taxes because it's not straightforward. So when it comes to itemizing, like you said, it did change in 2017 with the new Tax Cuts and Job Act, right? So this was supposed to benefit the majority of people. The majority of people are not able to itemize. So what they did was increase the standard deduction amount. And like you're saying, they increased it for individuals that are single, is 13,000, just kind of rounding up. And it can go all the way up to about $25,000 if you're married. So what I explain to clients, because especially when they purchase a home, they've been told, oh, you purchased a home, so you can itemize. That's not always the case. The way I simplify it is to keep it very simple. If you live up north, meaning if you live in Illinois, if you live in New York, if you live in Maine, any New York is a great one. They have higher property tax, right? Higher property tax, so theirs is typically over $10,000. So when it comes to itemizing, it's three components: mortgage interest, property tax, charitable contributions. You have sales tax, but that's calculated on its own. Those three components, if you're single, has to be greater than $13,000, right? And if you're married, those three components has to be greater than $25,000. So when I speak with clients, I tell them still keep track of everything because you never know. I've had clients literally be on the cusp to where they provided me their information. And if I'm saying it needs to be over $25,000, they're at $23,200. So now I'm able to provide recommendations to them to say, hey, next year, if you contribute X amount of dollars more to charitable contributions, that's going to help you to itemize, which brings down your taxable income, right? So for my people that are in the South, so Tennessee, Texas, Florida, we don't have high property tax like up north. So when I get clients that are in those areas, more than likely they're going to take the standard deduction unless they give $20,000 or more in charitable contributions, right? And this is just me kind of looking at this from an experience standpoint, dealing with a variety of clients. So if they're not giving that much in charity, the likelihood of them being able to itemize is very low. However, my clients who purchase homes, and we know the cost of living has went up in the housing market, right? So it's very easy now to get a $400,000 or $500,000 home. When you're getting a home of that value, now you're going to have high mortgage interest. So what I tell clients is, and these are like little tricks and tips that you should know that'll kind of cue you if you may be able to itemize. So if you're living in the South, but you have a home and your home is $450,000, $500,000, you're going to have high mortgage interest. You may have 10,000 or more in mortgage interest. So if you add that plus the property tax, and you're doing charitable contributions, the likelihood is very high that you're going to be able to itemize, right? Up north, property tax, that's going to be the thing for them to be able to itemize there. But if clients are not giving in charitable contributions, the likelihood, if they don't have that high value home or they're not living up north, They take the average person now is taking a standard deduction, and it's not worth giving a whole bunch of charitable contributions. Like it's again, it's not dollar for dollar. So for every thousand that you contributed to nonprofit organizations, you only get a 20% deduction. And a lot of people don't understand that. So if you
So
just
if you give 1,000, you're saying you can only take the deduction of 20% of that, which is
$200.
crazy. Yeah, you
So,
used
and
to
but
be able to
this,
deduct all of that, and giving stuff to, Goodwill or those
well,
organizations.
that's what it looks like. I'm talking about it from behind the scenes on the tax calculation side. Clients are not explained there. They're just said, hey, we need to get all of your charitable donations. What they're not understanding is if you donate a 10,000, you're not getting a $10,000 donation deduction. You're getting, again, 20% of that $2,000. So for my clients who give to church, they give to large, their philanthropy, right? Those individuals are going to benefit from money that they're already given, so they can't itemize. But I tell clients, if you're not giving like that, it's not worth it just to get a
Why waste
20%.
time?
Time and money, right? Like that money can be
Yes.
going to other things, and you just take the standard deduction over here and get a bigger bang for your buck.
That's I had no idea it had gone down that much. But I knew there was some changes made, like you said, in 2017, but I'm just like, wow. It's just, another squeeze on the little guy, unfortunately, and I want to remind people that if you have any questions for Ashley about your taxes, for you or your small business, please don't forget, give us a call here at 1-888. Look, that's 3-8-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. Now, I want to move on to business taxes. I think you very sufficiently covered the individual and the key buzz things we really hit. But on the business side of things, I've been a small business owner. This month makes 25 years, so I've seen a lot over that time as a woman and minority-owned business. And I tell you, a lot of people don't realize the structuring of the business, and I know you do deal with some of that in helping people to set their businesses up. Let's talk a little bit about that in terms of the different categories and how you might structure your business and maybe why you might want to set up, say a sole proprietorship over S corp or C corp or LLC, et cetera. So let's just quickly kind of go over the different structures that one might set up for their small business or large corporation.
So just to kind of simplify it and break it down, so you kind of mentioned them. You have a sole proprietorship, right? That doesn't really require a lot. That's not any fees that you have to come out of pocket. And to keep that one very simple, anyone can be a sole proprietorship. If you're saying, hey, I have a business idea and I'm looking for a way to generate money to make a profit, you're a sole proprietor. You don't have to do any registrations with the state. I do recommend that you get an EIN instead of providing your social to everyone, but that's just from an identity measure, right? Now, the next level will be a single member LLC. Okay. Single member LLC is very similar to a sole proprietorship. The biggest difference is you're registering with the state. And all those things that we talked about before with the filings and all of these other deadlines, now that comes into play. Depending on which state you live in, determines the various taxes that you have to pay. To give you an example, Tennessee and Texas are great examples, and they're on two ends of the spectrum. So a single member LLC in Tennessee has to pay franchise and excise tax, which is a minimum of $100, right? In Texas, they have to pay franchise and excise too, but they don't have to pay a fee unless their revenue is greater than $1 million, right? So in terms of the fees that are associated with having a business, it really depends on the state that you live in. Now, you have a S corp and a C corp, okay? These entities, when you start thinking about this, what I tell clients is this is when you're looking to really expand your business and grow this outside of yourself. You're looking to make six figures or more in revenue. This is not a hobby for you. You're potentially going to look at hiring individual contractors, employees, etc. With an escort, this is not a particular entity type. This is more in an election. So you can either be a C corp with an S corp election, or you can be a single member LLC or a multi-member LLC with an S corp election. The biggest part about an S corp election is you as a business owner, you're now able to be an employee of the business. And this is more of a tax strategy piece. By becoming an employee, that's a deduction that you get to take just as if you were able to hire anyone else. Single member LLC, you cannot be an employee of your business. Whatever you make for profit, that's what you're technically paying yourself, and you're taxed on 100% of that amount. S corp, you're only taxed on what you're paid as an employee. So that's the biggest part about an S corp. And with the C corp, you'll speak with a lot of professionals. That's not one that we recommend all the time. But as we kind of talked about with that Jobs and Tax Act of 2017, they changed the tax rate. The tax rate is now 21%. So now a lot of companies are thinking about an S corp. So all of these entities are really strategically chosen, and you really have to understand the longevity of where you want your business to go to determine which one is going to be beneficial. I would say a C corp is a route that you would want to go if, again, you're expecting to have six figure in revenue, you're making over 50 plus thousand in profit, you want to get your tax rate as low as possible. C corp is only taxed at 21%. As an individual, it can go up to 37%.
Now that's a
So
lot. That's a lot.
it's a lot. So I tell anyone, before you do not, and I repeat, do not go to the third party companies and say, I'm going to pick my own business entity type and I'm going to form this business myself. You really want to get with a professional to understand these pros and cons of each entity type. And you want to really thoroughly understand where you want your business to go, so you can make sure that you're choosing the proper entity.
Yeah, because it's not the most easy process if, say, you
No.
want to switch from one thing. Now, if you're going
Oh,
from a sole proprietorship, to an S corp or an LLC, that's not so hard. But if you're talking about, like, we've dealt with some things, moving from one state to another,
yes.
could you,
Dissolve it,
yeah,
reestablish in a
dissolve,
new state.
change, registered
Yep.
agent, there's so many things that, one might have to
Yeah,
try to figure
it's
out.
not just checking the box to say, oh, I changed my mind. I want to go from a C corp to an LLC or S corp to a partnership. And really, at that particular point, you need to seek the counsel of an attorney, because now you're getting into the legalities of switching your business entity type that could affect things not only from a tax side, but from a legal side too.
Yeah, and cost side, because
Yes,
I'm gonna
it's
tell you
costly.
that some states, I won't call any particular state name, but some states it's a lot more expensive to operate
For
from
sure.
insurance and
Yeah.
location and everything else than it is in other states. So
For
you really
sure.
have to be checking all of that stuff to make sure you are making a wise decision, because you think about it, they say what, out of 100% of all new small businesses that start,
Yeah.
after the first year, only 10%
They
of them
go.
remain open. I
Yep.
mean, so your
It's
odds are
hard.
looking good. You better, to get to 25 years, I can give that little bit of advice. You better kind
Yeah.
of check on all those things on the front end, that can really save you on the back end.
On the
And
back end.
it's not an easy process. It's not for the faint of heart.
At all. And can I ask you a question? Since you've been in the business for that long a time, what do you feel that you benefited? Because everybody doesn't think to start off working with a professional, but just coming from you directly as a business owner, what do you feel have been like the challenges, of trying to do it yourself versus working with a professional?
Yeah, I started off early on with I've always had a tax professional, an
Yay.
accountant, and that you want to make sure they're a CPA a lot of
Yeah.
times. But I distinguish it two ways. You have your bookkeepers who, they're a little less expensive. They're not necessarily CPAs and can, go ahead and do your QuickBooks and make sure that everything is up to speed month to month. So I had a guy that I worked with for many years in my early years of business who actually used to work for the IRS and started his own accounting firm, and he was a CPA. And he would actually come to my office and he would sit there and he showed me how to categorize and do everything you need to do with manual entries. He would sit there, he would make me do it. I'm like, am I really paying you for me to do all this work? But anyway, he would though show me and teach me how to do it. And I am so appreciative of him actually taking the time, because that's stuff that saves you, because it can be very expensive. So it's really important to have someone who will kind of give you some information and the advice that you need to really grow your business. And speaking of which, I want to get into also ways that you can also do things to offset your tax liabilities. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, what is a SEP and how that might work, if you want to get that.
So what you're kind of speaking about is tax planning, tax strategy. And this is what I emphasize for clients who have profitable businesses. Even if you're working a job, if you're making more than six figures in income, 9 times out of 10, you're going to owe as well. So again, this is why you want to work with a professional, because you may not be aware of all of the deductions and the strategies that you can implement to save something in tax. So you mentioned the SEP, which is a self-employed retirement account. This is specifically for business owners, right? But it's the equivalent of like a 401k, a 403b that you have with a job. This is pre-tax. And I put emphasis on that part because I hear people say all the time, oh, well, I put money into my Roth IRA. Do I get a tax deduction for that? No, you do not. A Roth IRA is where you're putting money that you have already paid tax on into an account. So you don't get a tax deduction for that. So with the SEP, and to kind of keep it simple, I'm going to use last year's numbers as an example. And again, this works for profitable businesses. You have to have money to spend money. If you have a business and you have a net loss, you cannot implement any of the tax strategy because you don't have cash flow, right? A lot of people don't understand that. So with the SEP, the way that it works is, and again, kind of using last year as an example, you can either put up to 50,000 of your money from your business into this account to save in taxes, or 25% of your profit, whichever is higher, right? By putting this money into a retirement account, you get a tax deduction for that. And this can be huge, but you have to have a profitable business and you have to have the cash flow. So if I come to a client and I say, hey, if you put $20,000 into yourself and it saves you $7,000 in taxes, you need to have that money and be ready to put it in there by April 15th of the current filing year to get the benefit. If you don't have those funds, I would say kind of use that as a good to know, and that's what you need to work toward, right? The goal is you want to identify tax strategies. Some of the other things that I discuss with clients, again, whether you're a hybrid working a job and having a business, or you're a 100% business owner, if you can get a health savings account, that's another deduction. You don't have to put in as much money as you do with the SEP. If you're working a job and you have a 401k, that's another one that you want to look at. The biggest one that I think is more realistic for those clients, especially if they're just starting out and they're not generating the money and revenue where they can put that cash flow into a retirement account, look at your business expenses. People don't think about this part.
Do you know what the limits are based on age of how much you can put into your 401k or 403b or a SEP?
So like with the 401k, as long as you're 65 and under, you can put up to like 22,000. And then the numbers change every year because of inflation. And pretty much once you hit over that age for retirement, you're able to put in on average like $1,000 or more. So it's kind of like a step up. Because you're over that age of retirement, you can put in $1,000 more, but that's not really significant, right? In comparison to what you mentioned, the SEP is huge. And you
Right.
get to put in more once you get to that retirement age. But again, you still have to have the cash flow to do those things. But from a business owner standpoint, I'll have a lot of clients that say, I don't have the funds to put that into a SEP, but they're paying for expenses for their business. Well, this is where tax strategy will come in also to say, what are you purchasing? What do you need to purchase before December 31st that's going to get your profit down? That's going to reduce how much you're owing to the IRS. So I look at that as how can you reinvest into the business? And typical things that you can look at is continued education. Do you have any professional development that you have to do? Is there any training, right? Are there any software subscriptions? Can you pay rent or your insurance in advance? These are items that you can look at to pay early to get your profit down. And that's, you got to pay it regardless, right? But you have to be strategic in when you're placing that money to save you in taxes.
Absolutely. That strategic planning is
It's,
so important. You
yes.
know, like we were saying at the outset, it's so important to find the right person who's going to be advising you, because that's the difference between
That's
many times the success and failure of your
a
business.
business for
So,
sure.
yeah. And if you don't pick wisely, also, you know, some people are all about the mighty dollar. So you may spend all your money in paying for, you know, accounting services. So you got to be aware of all
Got to
of
make sure
that.
you're getting
So,
your bang for your buck, as they say. And that's the
yeah.
thing I recommend everyone, don't be scared to ask questions. If you don't understand something and you're paying for the service, ask the professional questions so you understand what's going on. You'll be surprised at how many people I speak with that have a professional that they're paying and they still will come and ask me questions, right?
Right.
And I'll answer the questions, but that's my kind of like, hey, if you're not able to ask your professional that you're paying for those questions, kind of going back to what we said at the beginning, you may want to source and find an accountant, whether no matter what profession it's in, to be honest with you, find someone that you feel comfortable asking questions and you get the answers that you understand.
Right. And that's the thing, because everybody isn't, you know, it's like teachers, you know, you may have some that you just click with and you understand everything they're saying.
Yes.
Well, it's the same with tax professionals. You may be listening going, "Ooh, it's going right over
Bump,
my head. I don't know what this man or woman is saying to me."
yes.
So it's really, really important. I think that's a great point, that you want to have somebody that you click with and you're getting what they're saying, and they're doing a good job of explaining everything so
Yes.
that you can, you know, build upon that each year.
Yeah.
I wanted to also ask you, Ashley, about any major changes that you're aware of in the business tax law coming up that small business owners in particular need to be aware of, like the beneficial ownership information report I've been hearing about.
Yeah. And that's honestly just a report to say that you are a business owner. So to be very clear with that, right? If you're an existing business, you have to have that form completed by January 1st of 2025. So it's not like a, oh my God, I need to have this done yesterday. However, if you start your business this year, you have 90 days to get that form completed. So it's more impactful to business owners that are looking to start their business this year. And the thing is, you have 90 days right now, but moving forward, you only have 30 days to complete that form. And there's a, I recommend again, get with a professional to get that form completed. But there is a site, it's on Vincent's site that you can go to get that form completed. But that's something that's new. That's the biggest change. But again, that's more of like an administrative thing. And it's a lot of things going on with from a government, standpoint, legal standpoint, why this form is becoming more important and understanding what businesses are out there, because it's a lot of things that go on in a lot of ways that businesses will try to abuse the legal system. So that's the reason that they're putting that form in place. I am happy to say as a tax professional that there are not any major changes going on with the tax law as there was during COVID. And as there was in 2017 with the jobs and tax, the Tax and Jobs Cuts Act. So the biggest part that I'm seeing for business owners is, as we were saying before, they're not gathering all of their information. So that's the biggest part, is making sure that you gather all of the income and expenses that you have paid out or that you received for the prior year to make sure that you're accurately reporting income and you're reporting all of your expenses. The other thing that I'm seeing is clients are not keeping track of their business mileage. So when they're going offsite, they're meeting with clients, they're going to networking events, Anything that they're doing
Wow.
to generate revenue for their business or their brand, I get clients all the time. I'm not tracking my business mileage, and that's a huge deduction. Huge deduction. I had a client last year that purchased a building, and that's depreciation that we need to track. But if I didn't talk to them on a regular basis, I wouldn't have known that they purchased the building. The mortgage that they pay on that building plus the depreciation is a big deduction for them, right? And home office expense. So a lot of people are working from home right now. Not right now, but since COVID, a lot more people are working virtually and they forget about
Remote.
the home office deduction. That's a big one. And I hear clients say all the time, I'm not sure how I need to take that deduction. And this is why you pay a professional. It's not for you to figure out, quote unquote, the calculation. Provide the information that they're asking for, and they're going to make sure that you get that deduction. Going back to what I said before, this is why it's important to have those conversations in the summertime if you're looking for a new professional. But definitely, if you already have one, just touch base with your professional. Don't make it a one time a year thing where now we're trying to file and now you're telling me you've had a baby, you've moved, you've gotten a job, you've started two businesses, you've gotten into real estate. That's a lot of information to try to make sure you gathered everything in a week or two span. Convert with your professional throughout the year. And so the things that we're talking about now, if there are, so I don't really get caught up in the potential bills that are going to be passed. So for instance, one that was kind of going around earlier in January, February was an increase in childcare tax, right? That bill has not been passed. And if we know anything about our wonderful government, trying to get something passed is like pulling teeth. And so with bills, they're just bills until they've been approved by the House and the Senate. It has to be both. It can't be one, and then it has to be signed off on. So I'll say for anyone that hears this information, oh, we may get, a new first-time home buyer credit when I purchase a home, or they're talking about increasing the childcare credit. That's great to hear those things, but until you hear that it has been approved and signed off on, the tax law has not changed until that happens. So when that happens, that's great. But in the meantime, making sure that you're keep documenting your income. If you're a business owner, tracking that business mileage, making sure you take that home office deduction, making sure that you're maximizing, you are developing yourself as a business owner. So anything that you're paying for that's related to your business, if it's one account, if it's five accounts, make sure that you're paying for those expenses out of your business accounts so you can try and make sure that you're maximizing your deductions, but now you're having those accurate tax returns.
I know you were talking about like the mileage and stuff like that. If you go back, you can actually rebuild, places you've been if you've kept your receipts like you're supposed to, if you've gone to a business lunch or you've gone to a chamber meeting or whatever that happens to be business related. Well, you can get on. I have worked jobs as well where we've had to go back and go back and track that mileage, and you can easily do that and go ahead and create a log of that. It's a little bit of extra work, but it can be
It's like
done, and then you can pay at the end of the year, you can pay that mileage back and have that be on your books. So just things to
Yeah,
remember.
as long as you track it, and what I found is we're in a day and age where a lot of people are tracking where they've been on their calendar. And so that's what I tell individuals. If you don't have those receipts or anything like that, you have logged the places that you have been somewhere. So being able to retrieve that information, and let's just say you have prepared your return, it's been approved, and you're like, I forgot, but I've been able to pull that business mileage together. You can always amend your tax return. Now, if you're expecting to get some money back, you only have 3 years to amend the return for any extra deductions that you're able to file, but that is an option. So don't think I don't have the information or it's going to take me a long time to retrieve it. Don't let that discourage you. It may take some time, like you're saying, and it doesn't necessarily, as long as you can show proof of the mileage, it doesn't have to be recorded in the books per se. You do want that recorded from a documentation standpoint, but as long as you have those mileage logs or any information to show proof of where that mileage came from, please, and I repeat, please make sure you're deducting that because that's going to save you in taxes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're almost out of time, but I want to quickly on that
Yeah.
beneficial ownership information report. Is there a penalty if you don't get
Yes.
that in? If you open your business, I know you said for the newer businesses they have 90 days and soon it'll be 30.
Yep.
But the older businesses like mine, we have until next year, well, the end of this year
So
pretty much.
January 1st of 2025 is when anyone that was existing prior to 2024 to get that return file. After that, so for businesses prior to 2024, if you miss that January 1st deadline of next year, the penalty can be at a minimum of $500.
Yeah.
$500. And then it becomes criminal if you complete that form and you're putting in false information. Now it can become criminal, but the minimum penalty is 500, but that's 500 a month. That's not a 500 flat fee. So just like when you file taxes and you miss the filing deadline, you miss the extension deadline, these penalties and interest accrue every month
Yep.
until you're compliant.
Yeah, well, you've heard that on the Celeste Stein show. You need to get that form in,
Yes.
$500 a month. I mean, that can be very costly. And I
Yeah.
think a lot of people really are not really aware of it like they need to be. So
Yeah.
that's why it's so important to have a wonderful tax professional like yourself. And man, I am so appreciative of your joining us today. You have certainly been a wealth
Thank
of
you.
information. We could definitely have you back to talk more on all of this because it's a lot of
It's a
information to cover.
lot.
I don't think I
Yeah.
got through half my questions, but you were phenomenal, and so I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate that. In the meantime, if someone would like to talk to you more about filing their taxes here in the U.S., tell us what your website is or how they can reach you.
Yeah, I'm super active on social media. I would say that's the best way to contact me. My account handle is TaxBawse, TaxBawse, on all platforms. A lot of people DM me, so I'm okay with that. If you want to send an email, you can send it to admin@baataxconsulting.com. But I always encourage, even if you have a professional, even if you're preparing your returns yourself, ask questions. I am super advocate for tax education. And the more information you know, it really helps from a financial literacy side to help you to save in taxes so you can take that money and do other things with it to build wealth for yourself. But don't hesitate to reach out. Ask me any questions that you guys have around taxes.
After tax season, y'all, let's be light on her. Because she's gonna have a lot of work to do in the next couple of weeks. But anyway,
Is true.
yeah. Well, Ashley, thank you again for joining us. That is all the time we have for now. For more news you can use, self-help topics, and entertainment, please be sure to watch additional episodes of my YouTube channel under The Celeste Stein Show or here on bbsradio.com. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again for our next live broadcast in 2 weeks. Have a great day.